podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Network on Saturday, March 20th, 2021, the first day of, well, spring if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. Or why did I even bring that up? Fall if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. This is episode 1780, mate. Good day. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by SanDisk's Data Storage Solutions. Check out their iXpand Flash Drive Lux or their Ultra Dual Drive Lux today and get 15% off your first order of the featured SanDisk products at sandisk.com/techguy. And by Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, and get the plan shipped to your door free, go to mintmobile.com/techguy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smart watches and augmented reality and virtual reality and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. Well, you could still call, but you'd have to use Skype or something like that to call. Oh, we're stopping. We don't use Skype much anymore. Microsoft has kind of put the kibosh on the old Skype. They want you to use Teams now, but it's weird because when you go to Teams, it looks more like a messaging program. Do you use Teams at work? Everybody at home uses Zoom. I don't think Zoom lets you do phone calls, though, to phone numbers. That's where Skype has an advantage. Microsoft's already said we're phasing Skype out eventually. They have a roadmap, but not yet. I can't read maps. I have to use the GPS, and they don't have that. So I don't know exactly what the time frame is. I don't think they do, but that's the plan, is to kind of move Skype into Teams and let people use Teams instead. I don't want to do that. So we had a good run, Skype, you and I, but the time has come to say goodbye and find something else. What is that? I don't know. I do not know. Maybe we could use Twitch. You know, it's a weird world we live in, isn't it? It's a very weird world, and the New York Times is on it. They have two articles this week about what a weird world we live in. A couple of days ago, Taylor Lawrence, who is the Weird World correspondent for the New York Times, that's where she lives, wrote about a guy named Ludwig Ahrgren on Twitch. That's the streaming video channel. It's kind of like YouTube, but mostly gamers and stuff like that. It's mostly live, unlike YouTube. So this guy, Ludwig, last Sunday, turned his camera on about 2 in the afternoon and started streaming and said, I need new subscribers. That's how it kind of works on Twitch. You know, you want to get the most subscribers because then they come when your stream is on and watch you play games and give you money and stuff like that. Ludwig does more than games, though. He does. He cooks. He does a lot of stuff. He eats. And nowadays, he's sleeping on his stream, too, hosting movie nights, streams himself in the shower. He puts on shorts for that. Thank you, Ludwig. He's doing a subathon, which is a marathon to gain subs, not to make money for charity. That's a telethon. This is a subathon. Normally, you know, it might be like, oh, I'm going to stream for the next 24 hours or until I reach 2,000 subscribers or something like that. He did something maybe he might now regard as a mistake. He said that every new subscription adds an additional 10 seconds to the subathon. And, of course, that immediately attracted the attention of the internet. I haven't checked. I think he's still streaming. I don't think he's ever going to be able to stop because, you know, people say, well, I'll subscribe if it adds 10 seconds. Thousands are subscribing. He says, last night I went to bed with 30,000 viewers and 60,000 subs. So that's 30,000 people viewing. 60,000 people subscribing. I woke up, I was at 70,000 viewers and 70,000 subs. Well, I'll do a little math. That's 10,000 times 10 seconds. It's 100,000 more seconds he's got to stream. And as long as he gains a subscriber every 10 seconds, he's never going to stop. Fortunately, he's got an army of fans who are willing to help overnight while he's sleeping. It's a pretty boring stream, I would imagine. I haven't seen it yet. I refuse. Overnight, his fans get together and continue the content. They chat, they play YouTube clips, and they play videos that tell jokes. A 21-year-old college student Taylor interviewed, who goes by the name of Happy Gate, she says, at night, the rest of us do his content for him. She's in college. This is a whole lot better than studying. We try to keep everyone excited and highly motivated to see this go on as long as possible. To torture poor Ludwig, basically. 15-year-old Steven Siever, a high school student, says, the sleep streams have been really interesting. Basically, what's happened is his moderators get on the Discord call and they're calling and talking the entire time, shilling out of their mind for subs. The idea is, it's funny. While he's sleeping, the timer's going up. I'm tempted. They made a movie about, you know, in the Great Depression. Remember they had these dance marathons where dancers would dance until they dropped. And the one who, you know, the team that continued to dance would win the prize. And people were so desperate for money, they made a movie out of it. The movie is called They Shoot Horses, Don't They? Poor Stephen. But you could see this is the trend, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We live in a very weird world. And then, okay, so that was one. We live in a weird world, and the Times was on it. And then this morning I woke up to a story about what rich people are doing now that they can't spend money on travel and other stuff. I don't know if this is what all rich people are doing. It could be they cherry-picked a few weird rich people. But we've been talking about these NFTs. Remember that? That's one thing they're spending their extra cash on. Collectibles. Not just any old collectible. Jacob Bernstein wrote this one this morning. Rich people, he wrote, who shopped too much used to be called collectors. Now they are all investors. Why? Well, because they're collecting things that they think, they speculate, will go up. It all started with Bitcoin and then another cryptocurrency called Ethereum. They're buying crypto art. I listened to a podcast the other day called Modern Finance, MoFi.net. My friend Kevin Rose does it. I love Kevin, so I listened. Kevin made, by the way, a ton of money investing in old school industries like Twitter. So, you know, he is part of this group, I guess. I don't know if he's bored. I doubt he's bored. The headline on the article is how the bored rich people are spending their extra cash. I don't think Kevin's bored, but he and his guest talked a lot about buying something called CryptoPunks, which are basically little icons, little 8-bit, you know, throwaway icons. There's hundreds of them. And, you know, when they first came out, you didn't even have to buy them. You could just, I own them now. Now they're worth, each of them, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some of the more hotly collected 8-bit icons. There's no physical product. It's just and everybody can see the images, but somehow you own it. Like, it's the pride of ownership. Kevin was talking about, yeah, I had about 20 of them and I sold them all so I could buy one really valuable one. It was the smiling zombie CryptoPunk. And I guess the smiling zombie CryptoPunk is very, very hot. So, you know, he probably spent, you know, $10,000 and he's probably got hundreds of thousands of, I don't understand it myself. But then you think about it, and a lot of times collectors these days will buy beautiful paintings, famous paintings, but they'll never look at them. They'll never even own them in, you know, person. They'll own them, but they're all stored in little customs depots at airports all over the world, mostly in Switzerland, because they don't want to pay tax by bringing it into the country. And really, they didn't buy it to look at it. They bought it to hold it and then sell it for a higher price. It's just speculation. Just speculation. Which is a shame, because these are, you know, I mean, Monet's water lilies deserve to be seen. I guess in this case, at least the collector has a tangible item. They can, you know, say, look, here's my painting. They don't want to put it on the wall because it's too valuable. Plus, they don't want to pay tax on it. So they keep it at an airport. But still, you know, it's theirs. The CryptoPunk, it's like, I don't know what you got. We live in interesting times. I suppose I should embrace this because I'm the tech guy, right? No, I'm not going to embrace this. I can't. I'm sorry. I like tangible things like laptops, printers, smartphones. That's the stuff we talk about. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. I'd love to talk to you if you want to talk about that. I am. Well, I used to be the tech guy. Now I'm just one of two tech guys because there's a guy named Jerry. Hi, Jerry. Who started a podcast called Jerry the Tech Guy. I guess I should call myself Leo the Tech Guy to distinguish between. The only reason I mention this is I got a listener said, you know, I listened to your podcast. I used to be able to ask Google, you know, ask the Google assistant, hey, you know who, play the Tech Guy or play the Tech Guy podcast. And he said, this week, instead of you, it's been playing Jerry the Tech Guy. This guy's only had 5 episodes, but he's smart. He somehow is beating me. So I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. I'm just saying if you're looking for Jerry, this is Leo, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. It's just what happens. Again, we live in interesting times. Somebody else asked me, he said, every time I ask for, my podcast network is called Twit. Possibly not the best name. It was 15 years ago. I was young. I didn't know any better. He says, now when I ask to hear Twit live, the live stream, I'm on the live stream right now, for instance. Now when I ask to hear Twit live, it plays Conway Twitty live. So, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. These things happen. It's a big world. There's Conway Twitty. There's Jerry the Tech Guy. Hey. You've got the original, as far as I know, the first one. Unless there was, you know, Dave the Tech Guy who used to be here, and then I took over. I don't know. 8888 Ask Leo. There is a website, Tech Guy Labs. Jerry, you can't have that. Sorry, techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. And that's free. That's wide open. There's no sign up, and everything we talk about on the show goes there. Except for I refuse to put a link to Conway Twitty or Jerry the Tech Guy on that. Nope, it's mine. That's everything else I'll put links up. TechGuyLabs.com. She's sitting by the phone, but she's not waiting all alone. Kim Schaffer, the unbreakable phone angel, is here. She answers your calls. Hello, Kim. I see you wore a special shoulderless blouse today for a reason.
I wore a vaccination shirt.
I see a Band-Aid on that left shoulder. Did you?
I did.
Congratulations. Yes.
Congratulations to you, too.
I got mine.
Long time coming.
I got my first Fauci,
yep.
Which one did you get?
I got Moderna.
The Dolly Parton shot. The story is, she was talking to her doctor, and he was talking about his work on the vaccine, and she said, well, honey, let me give you $1 million, and she did, and boom.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't matter which one you get, obviously. Any shot's
better. No, I would have taken any one, but they did give me the option, so.
And why, you chose it because of Dolly?
Kinda, and you know, some research on the company, and anyway, yeah.
So you have a month, and then you'll get another one.
Yeah, I will get it the day after my birthday. Nice. I didn't want to do it before or day of, just in case there were any side effects. But I decided for Thursday.
Yeah.
So that I would be fine on Saturday.
Exactly.
To come to work.
I'm getting it on a Wednesday, so I'll be fine by Saturday.
Yeah,
same thing.
Exactly.
And I did also get Moderna, although I had a choice between that and the one shot Johnson & Johnson, and I thought.
It's kind of tempting, but...
It's tempting, but I want to do the new technology, this mRNA.
Yeah.
because, you know, I want the Bill Gates shot. I want the one where he's going to put the chip in you and then he's going, no, that's not true. That's not true.
No, it's not true.
I joke because it's so silly.
I know there's people that believe it, but whatever.
I know. Can't, so silly.
Can't deal
get
with
the
that.
Shot.
Just get it so we can all.
In a month, you and I can kiss.
I was thinking that.
Really?
I was thinking hugs and kisses all around.
A good hug. I'll give you a good hug. No, that's really, isn't it great? It's a nice feeling.
It is very, very good.
Actually, it's a month and 2 weeks, right? Because we have to wait 2 weeks for the full.
Yeah, 2 weeks afterwards.
We still have to wear masks and all
so
that.
So what day is your follow-up?
April 14th.
Oh, so yours is on my birthday. So I get mine the day after.
I'll think of it when I get the shot. I'll be thinking about your birthday.
I thought about getting it as a birthday gift, but I don't want, if there are any side effects, I didn't want, you know.
Yeah. And then, so by May Day, it's a party. I might get a maypole. We can dance around it.
I'm
who
excited.
Who should I talk to first?
Let's go to John in Gardnerville. Let's just keep up the happiness. He wants to thank you.
Aww.
Yeah. You gave him some good advice.
Aww. Thank you, Kim. Hello, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Not Jerry, just Leo.
Hi, Leo, and I just wanted to call and say thank you very much for your recommendation on a Chromebook we spoke about 3 weeks ago.
And was it for you or for a family member? Or?
It was for myself. I recently retired and was just having so much difficulty with my big desktop, and I just decided I didn't need all the power of a desktop, and I talked to you, and you recommended an Acer 715 spin.
Oh, you got the spin. Very nice. You like it?
Well, I didn't actually get the spin.
Oh.
Because I was a little hesitant about jumping in. So I got, instead of the 715, just, you know, the basic
version. Yeah, the spin's more expensive because it's aluminum and all that stuff, yeah. But a Chromebook's a Chromebook. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, wow.
Wow how?
It just, you turn it on and it's booted up and it's ready to go. There's no messing around. You don't go through the Windows startup.
I know. Well, it's a simpler thing.
Everything I need.
That's the other question. So there, you don't feel like, oh gosh, I wish I had Windows because I'd really like to run something.
Well, I have my desktop, and I have to tell you, after I got the Chromebook, I decided to, you know, I'm going to try and then put in a solid-state drive
good.
In my desktop and replace the old disk
good.
Drive.
That's a good upgrade, yeah.
And if I'd have done that first, I probably would not have bought the
It's a lot disk. Faster, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
Well, this is good, though, because you should use the Chromebook most of the time, especially for banking and shopping, because it's more secure. But then those times when you need something, you know, a Windows program, you still have a good Windows machine you can use. That's good. That's not a bad combination.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I'm using it for.
Fantastic.
I wanted to do something in Photoshop.
Yeah, obviously a Chromebook won't do Photoshop, so good. Well, I'm glad you called because, you know, it's a little controversial that I say, oh, don't get Windows, don't get Mac, get a Chromebook. But for people who don't need Photoshop, it's so much safer, so much easier, and so much less expensive, frankly. Thank you, John. You made my day. Scott Wilkinson coming up. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Thank you for calling back, because sometimes I recommend these things and I never hear back to know how it worked out. So I'm glad to know it worked out for you.
In fact, I'm watching you on the video right now.
Hi. I'm waving. That's great.
Thanks again, Leo.
My pleasure, John. Thanks for calling. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Our show today brought to you by SanDisk. Oh, let me get mine out. I carry it with me everywhere. I'm a big fan. I've always been a fan of SanDisk. In fact, as a photographer, I've always used SanDisk memory cards in my cameras. They're just, you know, they're just the best. And I also have frequently gone out and purchased numerous SanDisk memory cards, you know, the USB drives, for a variety of reasons. You know, they're big, they're affordable. I use them like crazy. They just came out with something new that I really love, the Ultra Dual Drive Lux. And I carry it in my bag because it's so dang handy. Here's a couple of SanDisk things, but let me show you the Ultra Dual Drive Lux, Flash Drive Lux. This is a two-in-one drive. Here, I'll give you give you a close-up of it so you can, if you're watching the video, you can see it. I'll take it out real quick. It's a two-in-one drive. That's what I love about it. A perfect way to back up and transfer files for those of us who are, in this case, oh, this one's not open. Did I get a new one? I thought I must have got another one. Let me tear it open here. For those of us who are using, look, it looks just like a regular Type-C USB drive, right? But it's got a sneaky thing in it here. Look at this. Flip it around, and it's got a regular Type-A. So Type-A and Type-C. And now this one I use all the time. This is the iExpand flash drive of Lux, which is perfect for iPhones. Look at that. Flip that Type-C open. Now it's got a lightning port. So I can plug this into my iPhone and then plug it into my iPad Pro or my Mac or any other USB-C. This is USB 3.1, 10 gigabits per second. It's super fast. There's an iExpand software that goes on your phone. So it's got automatic backup. As soon as I plug it in, it'll say, oh, what do you want to back up? Contacts, photos, everything on my phone if I want. It's a really great way to transfer files off my phone and so forth. As soon as it sees it, it will open it up. This is fantastic. Yes, go ahead, open up iExpand. And you'll see it's going to immediately start because I have it set up to back up my contacts automatically. It's a great way to take it off of your phone and put it onto something else. You can copy files from the phone. You can view the files from the phone, and of course, you can copy them to something else. SanDisk really offers the best solutions for backing up, for transfer. I've always used them in my cameras. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order of the featured SanDisk products at the website, and there are more than just these. It's sandisk.com/tech guy. I'm going to take this back up. I've ruined the packaging. The dual drive Lux Type-C and USB Type-A, or the iExpand flash drive Lux, which is really amazing with the Lightning and the Type-C. Thank you, SanDisk, for supporting the Tech Guy podcast. SanDisk.com/Tech Guy. SanDisk.com/Tech Guy. Isn't that cool? Love it. I love those horns. That's me probably too. Why you like this song. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. I'm chatting with the home theater geek, Scott Wilkinson. Not Jerry, the home theater geek. That's another guy. I'm talking to Scott, the home theater geek. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Leo. Congratulations on getting your first shot,
man. Yeah, you just got your second, so you're going to be in half a week now, because you got it about half a week ago, or a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
So about half a week, you're going to be good to party.
Good to party. I'm still going to be careful.
No,
though,
don't party, folks. We still have to. We still got a ways to go. Once we're all vaccinated, we can party. Right. So I was going to tell you, it's not exactly a home theater purchase. Mm-hmm. I've been for a long time, my desktop computer at home, and actually the one I'm looking at right now at work is an all-in-one, in both cases, iMacs. So the screen comes with a computer. You can put additional screens on the side, but there's big bezels. It's not really a single, it's not a big screen experience. Well, it's big. It's 27 inches, but it's not as big as it could be. Especially since my wife, Lisa, who does all the finances for our company, has a 49-inch curved wide monitor. I mean, it's arm span.
Yeah.
And she says she has to have it. She says, I wish it were bigger because she'll have multiple spreadsheets and documents open. And it's
right,
for her.
Right. That makes total sense.
Very convenient. And I've been very jealous. So I bought something and I might really regret this. It was very expensive. Dell's gaming arm, Alienware, sells a OLED gaming monitor.
Ooh.
It's as big as a TV. It's 55 inches. But I measured it. It's as wide as my wife's and twice as tall. So it'll be like having my wife's screen and then another one above it. Two of them. Because you can't,
it's probably 16 by 9, right? And hers is probably 21 by 9.
I can't remember what the aspect ratio is, but I don't know if it's 16 by 9. I think it's a little more square. But and it's not going to be at arm's length. It's going to be more like maybe 3 or 4 feet away. It's going to be somewhat more distant. I have a deep desk. So, I can position it.
Well, and that makes sense. That makes total sense. Is it curved?
No. It's basically a television.
Okay.
But they're selling at a much higher price. because it's a monitor, which is hysterical.
Is it 4K?
Yeah.
Yeah.
4K HDR OLED.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And you know, it's a gaming monitor, and I got it because there's a cuckoo game I want to play that I probably, once I start playing it, will never see anybody again.
This is one reason I don't play games.
Yeah. This one, you probably would like this. It's called Valheim. It's a Viking building game.
Oh, a building game.
Yeah. You create your Viking longhouse, but there's hunting and farming and chopping down trees. And yes, there's trolls in the forest, and there's bad guys and stuff. Yeah, there's bosses. So it's kind of a mix of Minecraft meets Call of Duty, I guess. I don't know. It's with a Viking flavor. Anyway,
right.
I'll let you know. It's
Oh, please do.
I'll give your view.
I mean, you probably don't want it to be as bright.
It's not. In fact, the knock is it's not very bright. But I can darken my office.
Right.
I have louvers. Right.
And because you're relatively close to the screen.
You don't want to blind yourself. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. High dynamic range at that distance, you know, with a very bright scene, it could
hurt you. Yeah, no, that's a good point. No, that's one of the, there are a couple of knocks on it. One is the ridiculous price. I'm not even going to say, because a TV would be cheaper. But this isn't a TV, and that's, I think, there's a difference.
It's a monitor, though, right?
It's a monitor.
It's like all-in-one computer.
It's a monitor, and then I got a gaming computer to go with it, but that's a story for another day.
I imagine that the lag time is super short.
Well, OLEDs are not known for being low lag time. So,
correct.
Yeah, it's not super, super short. I can't remember. I think it's 15 milliseconds, something. I'd like to see 8 or 9.
I would, too.
But OLED is an issue. It's 120 hertz, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it supports...
Oh, it should look fabulous.
Yeah,
it supports look amazing.
This NVIDIA technology that we saw at CES a year ago.
Right.
Called
G-Sync. G-Sync, which is a variable frame rate.
Yeah. Right. So the video card will control the monitor's refresh rate and all of that stuff. So
right. Right.
Anyway, exactly. It'll be interesting. I'll invite you over to calibrate it. I don't know if it has calibration controls as a monitor.
Oh, I imagine it does. Most computer monitors, high-end computer monitors do anyway.
Okay. I'll let you know. I might need your help. So today, let's talk about you. You've become the headphone guy.
I have become the headphone guy, and happily so. I remember in high school, I used to listen on headphones all the time. I would just lie down on the couch and listen to an album.
Yeah, me too. And on our Cost 440 Pro A's.
Exactly right. That's exactly the headphone.
Pro 440 A, yeah. It weighed about 8 pounds on your head.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I now get to try out a bunch of different headphones, and I'm really happy about it because it can be a very pleasant experience. One of the reasons is you take the room out of the equation. When you're listening on speakers, it's a different experience, and it's very good. It can be really, really good, but you've got to deal with the room. The acoustics of the room affect the whole sound. With headphones, they don't. So I just recently reviewed, about 4 days ago it got posted, a review. You remember my review of the Focal Stellia headphones, the $3,000 headphones?
You love those. Well,
I did love those. Well, here we come with another headphone from Focal called the Clear MG. And the MG stands for magnesium. And that is what the diaphragm in the headphone is made out of. And the main difference, other than the diaphragm material, between that and the Stellia is that the Stellia is closed back, like those Koss headphones you and I used to listen to.
Yes.
So the headphone, the ear cups, are completely enclosed and sealed off, whereas with the Clear MG, they are what are called open back headphones. So the back of the ear cup is open to the air, and it allows the back wave of the diaphragm. As the diaphragm vibrates, it sends sound waves into your ear, but it also sends sound waves the opposite direction. And in a closed back headphone, you have to deal with that. What do you do with that sound wave that's coming off the back end of this diaphragm? In an open back headphone, it just escapes into the room, and actually people can hear it a little better. But I was really interested to listen for the difference between those two technologies. And I still have the Stellia on hand, so I listened to a bunch of music, and I compared them one to the other.
Yeah.
And the Stellia has a very rich, creamy sound. It's beautiful, And the bass is a little more. With the clear MG, the tonal balance is what I would call more neutral. It's not, and it's not quite as loud.
You could see the difficulty, by the way. This is like wine.
Yes.
Of coming up with words to describe a sensation.
Yes.
Whether it's taste
yes.
or hearing. Creamy, yes. clear. I kind of know what you're talking about. I actually would prefer a brighter sound to a warmer sound or creamier sound.
Then you would probably like the clear MG better than the Stellia.
Yeah.
And the good news is they cost half as much.
I'm so glad I didn't buy the Stellias.
Exactly. Now, the still not cheap, $1,490.
Well, that is a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money for a pair of headphones.
Good headphones are pricey, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. Where is this review? Is it at TechHive.com?
TechHive.com, yeah.
Okay.
You go to the TechHive.com and you scroll down a little ways, because it was like 4 days ago. There's a picture of a woman blissing out on wearing these headphones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see. Focal is the company that makes those fancy other headphones, right?
Correct, the Stellias.
The Stellias, and they also make very, very, very fancy French company speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their alternative to the
wonderful.
This is like their alternative to the Stellia.
Well, it's a different
low cost.
A different they're open back, so it depends on which type of sound you prefer. I'm not saying the Stellias are bad.
They're just twice as much.
And
I might
richer,
like a brighter sound, yeah.
A richer sound. This is a more neutral sound.
I shot my whole wad on this monitor, so I ain't buying no headphones. Scott Wilkinson, home theater geek. His review is at techhive.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, this is certainly more in my price range. I really couldn't conceive of spending $3,000. For headphones.
Yeah, yeah.
Even as tempted as I was by your description of the Stellias. So personally, do you prefer the Stellia sound?
Actually, it's a hard question. I used the Stellia for mixing, for doing some mixing, and I really liked it there. But
I remember that.
I didn't think it was as accurate as I wanted to be in mixing. So I'm about to enter into a mixing project with my wife on a new song we've written and are in the process of recording. And I'm going to use the clear MGs to do that mixing. And I'll be very interested to see the difference. I suspect if I'm going to actually buy one of these headphones, it'll be the clear MGs.
Yeah, that seems to me, given that it's half the cost.
Accurate, more neutral.
Now, do you still need their special amp?
No.
Any old amp will do with this.
I listened to both of these on the iFi Hip DAC, which you know.
Oh, okay, which I have. I have two of them, actually, because they replaced my old one.
They replaced
and
your
I
old
had bought
one.
A second one already. So
okay.
I don't mind having two. They're great. It's a great thing.
It's a really great thing.
Yeah.
And I used for my source material, I usually use Tidal.
Right.
I don't know if you know the streaming service Tidal.
Oh, yes.
They have high-res, uncompressed. Or
just got acquired,
speaker.
By the way. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't. Who acquired them?
Stripe.
I don't know them. Anyway, I just started using.
I think it was they bought. It was. Was it Stripe? That was it. Tidal Stripe bought, or was it Deezer?
Know. Deezer, I know.
Yeah, no, I think it was Tidal. Tidal is Jay-Z's, right?
Yes, I believe
that's
correct.
Yeah, Stripe just bought them.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just started using a new streaming service called Qobuz. Qobuz.
I'm sorry. Square bought them, not Stripe. Square.
Oh, Square.
Yeah. Yeah. Cash.me. Yeah.
As in the.
As in Jack Dorsey's other company. Yes.
The point of sale company.
Yes.
I use those every tube of Christmas.
Yeah. Well, and the reason is people think. They're going to look at ways to sell music direct using Square. I mean, there'll be some sort of payment system associated with it. It's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just subscribe to it and stream it.
Yeah. Tidal's great.
Yeah. Well, I just started a new one called Qobuz, Qobuz, which also has uncompressed high-res audio tracks. when the time comes, I will tell you about the headphones I just reviewed much more recently, and they won't be published for another month or so. Also from Focal, the Utopias, also open back, $4,000.
Oh my God! So these are even better than the Stellias.
They are. They are. These are the absolute best headphones I've ever heard, period, without question.
Holy moly.
About the difficulty of talking about it or speaking about it or expressing how it sounds in words. That's always a problem,
right.
As you know.
Right.
And you, as you mentioned, it's a problem. But in this case, it's really a problem. I have to use the words like transcendent.
It's transplendent. Wow.
And ineffable. There's an ineffable quality to them that I have a really hard time putting into words. I mean, are they, you know, 2.5 times better than the Clears? Well, no. As we know, the price performance curve levels off at a certain point.
Yeah.
But these things are just astonishing.
So you think the Clear MG, it sounds like it's a good mix of price and performance.
It does. It does. That's where I think.
And I don't mind open ear. I think you get a better.
Well, as long as you're in a quiet environment.
Or a better reproduction with an open ear, be honest.
Correct. Correct.
Because of the
bass, thing I didn't mention on the air is that, you know, with an open back, you have to be in a relatively quiet environment.
Got to run. Stay at the top. Stay at the top.
You bet.
Or the Mordana Vax. Yeah. Dolly Parton, my hero. She's everybody's hero now, isn't she? We'll call that the vaccine song. Actually, there was a guy who did a parody of Jolene, another of Dolly's songs, called Vaccine, in honor of Dolly Parton. I think it was out on Twitter around about the time the Moderna vaccine got the FDA emergency approval. Vaccine. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number, 888-827-5536. Sorry about singing. Peter's on the line from Escondido, California. Hello, Peter.
Yeah, hi. I'm blind, and I had a thought about, you know, you have all these different segments like the cars and with Scott. I was wondering you could do with Julian about blind and other disabled.
We love Julian. You know Julian?
I hear him every once in a while when he calls.
Yeah, We, you know, I should encourage him to do a podcast. But I agree with you. It's something that we want to cover. But my problem always has been that because I'm not blind, and I would extend it to be more than just computing for blind people. It would be probably accessibility in general. So one of the beauties of modern computing is it can adapt to a variety of special needs. And so the general term is accessibility. And it really is worth covering. There's so many interesting technological revolutions going on there. Do you use a screen reader?
Yeah, I use JAWS, and then also I use Open Book for my text-to-speech.
Do you feel like you can use a computer as well as a sighted person?
No, because sometimes I have problems, you know, doing things on the internet, like filling out.
Websites need to pay more attention to accessibility, I think. There's certainly a move to do that.
Yeah, it's just like trying to sign up for the vaccine. It's kind of
pain. See, that should not be hard. That's really ridiculous. That should not be hard. You shouldn't have to get somebody in the room with you to do it. That's crazy. Yeah. But, you know, that's the world we live in, unfortunately. I think the good news is, thanks to the ADA, we're making progress.
Right. So I just wanted to maybe get Julian a little bit more off.
I agree. I think that's a great tip. And I have to correct myself. I'll do it again. I said somebody called and asked about screen readers some time ago, and I said, oh, JAWS is very expensive. I didn't know this. One of the developers emailed me and said, you know, we've got a subscription now that is much more affordable. It's $90 a year. So JAWS has become actually affordable. In the past, you really had to get help to buy it. It was so expensive.
Oh, yeah. It was like over $1,000.
Yeah. So I'm glad to now be able to recommend JAWS. You know, it's not free, but $90 a year is not a bad amount.
Oh, no, that's affordable.
Yeah. Hey, great to talk to you. Good suggestion. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it. Let's go back to the phones. Gloria in North Hollywood. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, Leo. I'm calling
you. You sound so sad, Gloria. Are you sad? Don't be sad.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm always bugging you because I don't know what I'm doing.
I always look forward to hearing from you, Gloria, and that's okay.
I meant to ask if I could speak to you offline because I feel so silly.
No.
Anyway.
You're doing us, I really want to make this clear. You're doing everybody a favor. Most people will not call because they feel like this is a dumb question. This is silly. I'm embarrassed to ask it. But as soon as you ask it, I guarantee you, they're, you know, half the audience is going, oh gosh, I'm so glad she asked because I've always been too embarrassed. Oh. So it's, you're doing, think of this this way. You're doing everybody a favor. You should not be embarrassed at all.
So.
Yeah. And besides, Leo likes easy questions. I get far too many hard questions.
Okay. A little background. Late last year, I saw, got an alert that said, updates available. I know you said that you don't need to do any updates or downloads with Windows 10. It automatically does it. But I got this little alert, and I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to do this manually. So the version was 2004. I downloaded it and installed it, and my computer went nuts, absolutely nuts. It blinked from the desktop to a black screen and back and forth every half a second. For about 2 hours, I went through that, and then I figured out how to get to Google Chrome to find a link to tell me how to stop it. I went through all of those steps.
You're good, Gloria. Wait a minute. This is an expert level performance. Well done. Bravo.
Out of desperation, though.
Yeah, but you did it.
I finally got a link. It's okay. My computer's okay now. But now I have one of those little yellow circles on my, hidden icons.
Oh, yeah. Down in the on the lower right,
newer
right?
Newer version.
Yeah.
Yeah, newer version of Windows 10, 20H2.
Yeah.
Will I have problems?
No, this is actually not a dumb question. This is kind of the question for Windows users. So one of the things you have to understand, and Microsoft does not help you with this at all, is this silly number system. So 2004 was for April 2020. It was the spring. And by the way, it came out in May. So it's meaningless. It's the spring update to Windows. They finally realized giving it a month, we never get it out in time. So now instead of 04... It used to be 04 and 09. So it'd be 2004, 2009, and then it'd be 2104, 2109. They're now using first half, second half. So 20H2 is the second half of 2020. It's the fall update. Now, the thing to understand about these updates is these are feature updates. They are essentially optional. They're often problematic, as you experienced, and they don't add to your security or reliability. Those updates, the so-called critical updates, come monthly on the second Tuesday of the month. And those you need to apply because they're fixing flaws in the operating system that could expose you to hacking. So those are vital. Those are the critical updates, and that's monthly. And you're probably doing those. Now, Microsoft, unfortunately, because Microsoft eventually will require you to take one of these feature updates. But you can defer them, and it's okay to defer them because they aren't adding security. They're only adding features. And honestly, by this point, they're dopey. They're little tiny things. Oh, the menu bar is translucent. Woo! So it's, you know, and for all the hassle you went through with 2004, I don't blame you for being skeptical about 20H2. Now, here's the good news. 2004 was a noticeably awful update. In fact, it was so awful that Microsoft has decided that 20H2, the one that it's offering you now, is just going to fix problems with 2004. And we believe the same thing for 21H1, which will be coming out in the next couple of months. That will also be a minor update, light on features, more on buffing down the rough edges of the previous update. So I think now that you've licked 2004, it's okay for you to do 20H2. It will probably... Go ahead.
Actually, I didn't lick it.
You undid it. So in that case, I think I would do 20H2 because I think whatever... You just uninstalled it. Yeah, I think it would be worth... I think... Okay. You don't have to. And in your case, I understand why you wouldn't want to. So don't. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. But at some point, you might want to, and it probably, this is the problem with this. I can't promise it'll be okay. Microsoft, in theory, doesn't offer it to you unless they know there's no compatibility issues. But as you know from 2004, that's not a guarantee. So your fix that you found in Chrome was to uninstall it.
Okay.
Was it? Do you remember?
Yeah, that was the only thing I could...
That's fine.
A screen from blinking.
That's fine. Yeah, yeah. So...
Now, should I pay attention to... I mean...
You can ignore it. At some point, they're going to get...
All the other...
They're going to get rude and say, you've got to.
Oh, okay.
What happens is Microsoft gives you a couple of years, literally 2 years to do this, and eventually they're going to say, no, no, if you want to keep being supported, you have to do it.
Oh.
But you can continue to defer this. You don't have to do it.
Okay, so from now on, don't rely on, or can I rely on the fact that Microsoft will, in the background, just do the updates and installs by
yeah.
itself? Because you said it's not necessary.
The critical updates it will do, yeah, automatically.
Oh, critical updates.
And that's the only ones you have to do. Those are the security updates. The feature updates, which are twice yearly and have been a nightmare, I mean, you're not alone. The most recent one broke everybody's printers. Not everybody, but a lot of people's printers. It broke our printer. We use a Kyocera printer. We had a caller last week that complained of this, and it blue screened when it tried to print. The whole operating system blue screened. That's unacceptable. Honestly, I'm not a fan of Windows. And it's things like this that make me not a fan. But you're using it. So congratulations. You have to deal with this.
Yeah, I don't
think it's
anything else, yeah.
My opinion is you probably can install 20H2 safely. They've partly because they've addressed these kinds of issues. But
okay.
You may have the same problem, but now you know that you can uninstall, you can roll back, and you know how to do that, right?
Yeah. So Microsoft will still in the background, and you know, like
critical updates, security patches, they'll do automatically.
Okay, they'll do. Okay.
There's a little except in this, which is sometimes if you get blocked on one, then it won't do any more. So every once in a while, it's okay to open Windows Update and make sure that you've got all the critical fixes. They do that in the second Tuesday of every month, periodically.
Okay.
You know, twice a year, three times a year, just open it up and make sure you're up to date. That is important because otherwise you're a sitting duck on the internet.
Right.
But these 20H1, 20H2, 2004, these are feature updates that are problematic and not worth it. Not worth the trouble.
Okay. So wait until they give me an emergency notice that says you have to do this.
Yeah. You could certainly do that. Okay. It'd be harmless. Yeah.
Great.
That was a great question, Gloria. What are you talking about? That was the best.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
I feel like
Gloria.
I just landed here on this planet.
No. I'm going to run now because Scott. I'm using up Scott's time here.
Okay.
I'll take
Thank
care,
you.
Gloria.
Right.
Isn't that sweet? Poor Gloria. And yet it's a great question.
It's a really great question.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I meant. Everybody's going, oh, thank you for asking that, Gloria.
Right.
All right. All yours, Scott.
Thank you. And no problems spending more time with her.
Well, that was one I didn't want.
She was great.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She calls all the time. She's fantastic.
And, you know, the questions about Windows? I mean, how many people have Windows computers?
None if I had my way. Piece of crap.
That piece of crap.
Piece of crap.
So, hey, everybody. Nice to see you all here on this lovely Saturday. I hope a shot is in your near future if you haven't gotten it already. I'm feeling much better now that I've had both of mine, and I'll feel even better next week when it is fully kicked in. We were talking about headphones, of course, and quite a few people, as expected and reasonably so, have said, what, $5,000 for a pair of headphones or even $1,500? That would be cause for divorce in my family. And, you know, in many cases it is. Somebody else asked, you know, do people actually buy headphones that expensive? And the answer is yes, they do. Otherwise, Focal and companies like them wouldn't make them if they didn't sell them, but they obviously do. And, you know, for those who have the money and who enjoy the headphone experience, one thing I didn't mention in the segment that that is kind of an important factor. I did mention about how if you're listening to speakers, you're in a room and you have the room acoustics to deal with. But there's another effect that's kind of important too, which is when you're in a room with speakers, the sound from each one, the right and the left, reaches both ears. With headphones, that's not true. You only get the left in the left and the right in the right. But with speakers, you hear both the left and the right in both ears. And, for example, the right speaker reaches your right ear first and your left ear second, delayed by milliseconds, microseconds. And you might think, so what's the big deal there? Well, it helps your brain. That's how your brain determines directionality. One of the elements is the interaural delay. And so the difference between the time the sound arrives in one ear versus the other helps you determine where the sound is coming from, which in the case of a pair of speakers means that you can tell that a sound, it gives the speakers what's called the sound stage. And so it makes it appear as if different instruments are coming from different locations in front of you. Headphones have sound stage as well, but it's a little different. It feels a little different because you're not getting that interaural time difference, the interaural delay. Alan Gabriel, you're exactly correct. Headphones are great for gaming. Once again, you get that interaural time delay. In that case, it's got to be mixed into the music. It's got to be gaming, obviously, you need to be able to identify where a sound is coming from very precisely. And so the game had better include those types of cues in order for you to be able to identify where the monster is. A Lurch says, love my Stax 009 electrostatics. Oh, yeah, baby. I reviewed the Stax 007. That's what their model number is. And they were stunning, just absolutely beautiful. But now we're talking, you know, $20,000 or more. I don't remember if they come with their own amp or not. Lurch, did the 09s come with their own amp? We were talking earlier also about the Sennheiser Orpheus, another high-end headphone that's in the $50,000 range. But they come with their own tube amp. So that's part of what that is. Richard C., can headphone makers mitigate interaural delay? There's no interaural delay with headphones. It's kind of built into the music at that point. I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Scott, you are
here we go.
A gentleman and a scholar and a sack butt player. Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful
that
week.
That I am. True on all counts.
True in all three. And by the time we talk next, you will be COVID safe.
Fully inoculated.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. See you next week.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. We'd love to talk. And as you heard Gloria last hour, she felt terrible that she had a dumb question. It was actually not far from dumb. It was kind of one of the most important questions Windows users have to address, which is, should I update Windows? And Microsoft has not helped in this at all because they have two different update cycles. They have the monthly, I want to say critical updates. It's not just critical updates. It's a variety of patches on Patch Tuesday. The most important ones are the ones that fix security flaws. Those are called critical patches. But there's other ones, optional patches too, which, by the way, Microsoft keeps changing that name. But suffice to say that those monthly patches to Windows are important and will happen automatically in most cases, unless you've had a problem with installs before and something's blocked. And those are not to be deferred. You know, we've seen enough emergencies that we know you really got to apply those. So that's cycle one, but then there's a larger cycle. Why Microsoft? Why? There's no, it's just crazy, which is the twice a year feature update cycle. They do one in the spring, one in the fall, and they've changed the names many times. It's now H1 and H2 for first half and second half of the year. So we will at some point, they haven't really been testing it, so I'm not sure where it stands right now, but we will at some point get 21H1 for Windows 10. And we have seen in the past, a number of times in the past, that these big twice-yearly feature updates cause horrific problems. Not that the Patch Tuesdays don't cause horrific problems as well. And it's a really legitimate question, like, well, do I have to do these? And Microsoft will push you to do them. In most cases, you know, you'll have a period of time you can defer them, and at some point you're going to have to do it. And then the other thing that happens with these feature updates, is twice yearly feature updates, is after a couple of years, Microsoft says if you haven't applied them, you won't get any more security updates. Is it any wonder why I don't like Windows? I really don't. I think... I know people love Windows, and everybody in the chat room will say, I love Windows. What are you, crazy man? It's the only operating system. If you are willing to be your own IT department, or you're lucky enough to have an IT department, Windows is fine. Windows is fine. But it really does require, as I just demonstrated by that explanation of what the update cycle is, it requires some attention. If you want to spend some time thinking about it, the people who love Windows are either enthusiasts or business users. Enthusiasts are their own IT department. The business users have an IT department. No normal person should be using Windows. It's overkill. And honestly, it's a security nightmare, period. Yeah, and it's my opinion. I have the right to have the opinion. Jerry, the tech guy, might feel otherwise. You should probably ask Jerry. 8888 Ask Leo. Dwayne on the line from Southern California. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning. Oh, good afternoon, Leo.
It's afternoon. I kept you on hold a long time. What can I do for you, Dwayne?
Yeah, not bad. Less than 2 hours, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. It's because I'm such a gassy fella. I'm a windbag. So what can I do for you? You're breaking up a little bit, so give me your question.
My question is, how can I tell that this site is fake, a website?
Oh, that's a great question. Because if you think about it, what does a bad guy want to do? A bad guy, if he wants to go after computers, and there's two kinds of bad guys in the world. There's the kind of the state, nation state hackers, the Chinese, the Russians, who are going after state secrets or spies or military people, that kind of thing. Those are hackers that are targeting you. Also in that group of targeting hackers are hackers who are decided to make money using ransomware by going after in specific companies. They use targeted attacks. In other words, they know who they're attacking and they craft their attack to be effective against that one subject. The other kind of hacker is kind of the mass hacker. And it's the only one most of us are really susceptible to, unless you're, you know, you work for the CIA or the NSA or you're a diplomat or a movie star. You're probably not being targeted, right? If you're a celebrity, you might be targeted. Most of us just going along, we're only the target of mass attacks. Where a bad guy says, I'm going to try this against a million computers because I know a few of them it'll work. Fortunately, it's a lot easier to defend against the mass attacks. If you're a celebrity, you, I would hope, are pursuing strong security measures and, you know, getting somebody to help you because you got to be more careful because you're a target. But if you're not a target, then there are a few things bad guys do. There are two ways, really, they can get into your computer. Their goal, by the way, is to get you to execute a program for them. That program they want you to run is going to inject malware onto your computer and do a variety of bad things. From encrypting all your data for and holding it for ransom, that's ransomware, to taking over your computer and using it to attack other computers, or to forward spam, or just to put spam up on your screen. Those are the kinds of things these mass attacks do. They either do it through email, so they might send in a million emails that say something like, hi, this is Chase Manhattan Bank, and somebody tried to access your account from a foreign country. Quick, open this document to see if it's you. You know, they do that to scare you so you won't think about it and you'll do it. Oh, my God, let me check. And, of course, the document, your, quote, document that you're opening is not a document. It's a program. And now they've succeeded in getting you to run that program on your computer and inject malware. So that's an email attachment. That's a very common kind of attack, maybe the most common. The other very common attack is a website attack where and it might they might go hand in hand. It might have had a link in that email from your bank. It's not your bank, some bank. That says, quick, in fact, often does, click this link. If you did click the link, you'd get a site that looks just like your bank. And it would say, log in, give us your password so we can check. And now they've stolen your bank credentials, right? That's the plan. So you're right. Websites can often be malicious. Or they can pose as, you know, you might get a link that's or a pop-up that says, oh, your Flash player is out of date. Download the new one. Thank God Flash is gone. But that was very common. You might be on Facebook, for instance, and get a message. Oh, I got a video of what you did last night. You won't believe it. And you're going, wait a minute. I thought I was home last night. What could that be? And you click it. And then it says, oh, can't watch this unless you update your video player. And you go, oh, well, I better do that. And, of course, what did they just do? They got you to run a program on your computer. And so they've infected you. So that's their goal, is to get you to run that program. And they do all sorts of tricky things. Some of them are, you know, websites that are posing as fake websites. So your question now, after all that prologue, sorry, Dwayne, is how do I know if a site's real or not? Well, you definitely can't tell by looking at what the link says in an email, because that can easily be spoofed. So the link can say chasemanhattanbank.com, but if you click it, you're not going there. You're going to chasemanhattan.hacker.com. Big difference. If you go to websites, if you're urged by a pop-up or an email to go to a website, the safest thing to do is type that website in by hand. So if it says Chase Manhattan Bank, you go to chasemanhattanbank.com. Okay, you've typed it in. You know you're at the right place. But even then, after that, you can verify a website. Now, the way this happens is different depending on the browser. But nowadays, most websites have what we call certificates. Certainly any bank, online commerce site, any important site will have a certificate attached to that site. It's a certificate of authenticity. And every browser will let you verify that certificate. Generally, they do so with a lock, a padlock, usually to the left of the site's address. So if you've entered a site by hand, you know you've gone to that site, but it still could be infected or malicious. We still want to verify that it is, in fact, the site you think you're on. Click that padlock, and depending on the browser, you'll see a pop-up and you'll get to look at the certificate. It'll say if the certificate's valid, but you want to more than that. You want to look at the certificate and make sure it's valid for the site you think you're on. So you see the certificate and you say, is it for chasemanhattanbank.com? And it says issued to chasemanhattanbank.com. Then you know this really is Chase Manhattan Bank. At least you know you're in the right place. That's one way of at least assuring that you're not on a malicious site that's posing as Chase Manhattan Bank. I apologize, Chase Manhattan, for using your name. I don't think they call themselves that anymore anyway. That's why I'm saying it. It's any bank, any commerce site, any site at all. Verify that that is where you are by clicking that. It's usually a padlock, but sometimes it's another icon. Usually it's to the left of the address. Look around in your browser. You want to be able to look at the certificate, see who it was issued to, and make sure that matches. But it's still possible to go to a site, usually not run by big companies, but a company site or a blog that is legit. It is the right spot, but it has been hacked itself. And this is really challenging because it's very common for bad guys to look for flaws in the software that site's using and take advantage of those flaws, just like they take advantage of flaws on your computer, because a website's just running on a computer, to attack that computer. And often they'll put a kit, a package of attacks on that computer that are, it's done silently. It's a drive-by. You go to that website without even knowing it. The website looks normal. You're doing normal things. But in the background, it's going, well, has he patched his computer? Has he got this? Has he got that? Can we get in this way? It's trying a bunch of ways to get into your computer to do the same thing, to run a program, to hack it. That's a little more challenging, but that is why I talk about all the time, keeping your computer and your other software, your browser, up to date. Chrome has had this month two different problems that bad guys could attack using a drive-by attack on a website. As soon as Google discovered them, they updated the browser. And you want to make sure you have the latest version of Chrome, because if you don't, you'd be vulnerable if you go to a site that has that kit on it. So that's why updates are so important. The Patch Tuesday updates, the so-called critical updates, they're fixing flaws in the operating system or the software that would allow those attacks to happen. And you need to do that because you can't tell if a site has malware on it. You just can't. Google and others, you know, in the search engines are always looking for known malware. And they will. You've probably seen it. You try to go to a site and it says, we can't let you in here. This site has malware on it. That's good. All the browsers will do that. But unfortunately, it's also possible, you know, it's a cat and mouse game for hackers to have new stuff that Google doesn't know about yet. And so you go to the site. So that's why it's a, you know, all security is multi-layered. Very important layer. Probably number one, keep your stuff up to date. The good news is these days, because this happens so often, browsers update automatically. You might have seen this pop up. Oh, Chrome needs to restart or Firefox needs to restart. There's an update. It's probably a good idea every day to close your browser down. Just close it all. I know you're going to lose all your tabs, but close it all and then reopen it. Because if there is an update, it will automatically update. And the reason they do that is because this is so common. You know, Dwayne, that's a great question. And you see, it's a complicated answer. You can verify the site by looking at its certificate. Then you know you're on the right site. Best to type it in yourself and then keep everything up to date in case the site itself has been hacked. Great question. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. If you have a follow-up on that or a question on anything at all, I'm here for you. I'm your tech guy. A tech guy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you this week by a little thing called Mint Mobile. I love my Mint Mobile iPhone SE. They sent me an iPhone SE because they have a great deal on iPhone SEs. And this, by the way, is a great little iPhone. But it's even better because I got the Mint Mobile SIM in it. Mint Mobile is a carrier that gives you the best deal in mobile. I mean, amazing. As little as $15 a month, right? After years of getting ripped off by the fine print and contracts from the big wireless providers, if we've learned anything at all, we've learned there's always a catch. So when I first heard about Mint Mobile and their premium wireless service at $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch, right? Well, now I've been using them for more than a year, and it ain't no catch. It just makes sense. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. No stores means a lot less overhead, and they can pass the savings along to you. And boy, what a good deal. Actually, I liked it so much. I did the $15 a month trial, and I said, you know, this is great. So I bought a year's worth of service for $300, and that gave me 12 gigabytes a month, plus unlimited nationwide talk and text, and it works out to $25 a month. And what do you pay for your cell service? $75, $80, $90 a month? I was cutting my T-Mobile service by a third. And by the way, it uses T-Mobile. So I was getting the same great cell phone service. I just wasn't paying that same great price. $15 a month wireless service. All plans come with unlimited nationwide talk and text, high-speed data on the nation's largest 5G network. A lot of people bring their own phone. Mint Mobile, unlike the other companies, they don't charge you for the SIM. They'll send you the SIM for free. You put it in your phone. They have a little checker on the website. Make sure your phone's compatible. Any phone that you use on a GSM network should be compatible. But go ahead and put it in. All the iPhones are. You put the SIM in. Boom. All of a sudden, you're a Mint Mobile customer. You can port your old number over. So now you've not only lost no contacts, no data, no apps. You've even got the same phone number, but you've got a nice new carrier charging you a lot less. And, of course, Mint Mobile also sells phones like this fabulous iPhone SE, which is an amazing deal for really, I think, a great phone. Switch now to Mint Mobile. You'll get premium wireless service. It starts at just $15 a month. They have other plans, including an unlimited plan that is still, you know, about a third what the other guys charge. I love Mint Mobile. And, of course, if you're not 100% satisfied, they've got you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, and get the plan shipped to your door free, go to mintmobile.com/techguy. That's mintmobile.com/techguy. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month without giving up any of that great service. mintmobile.com/techguy. You're going to love it. Oh, and thank you, Mint Mobile, for supporting the Tech Guy podcast. I appreciate it. First day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. First day of fall in the Southern Hemisphere. It's a beautiful day. Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Back to the phones we go. Let's see. Next is Ed in Valencia, California. Hello, Ed.
Ed.
Hey, come on, Ed. Come on.
I'm here.
Did you put the kids on the phone to hold?
No, I ran off to the bathroom, man. Sorry.
It's okay. Quite all right. Was that your wife or your child?
That was my wife.
I could hardly hear it, so it's no reflection on her. Ed, you're on. Quick, of course, naturally. The minute you go to the bathroom, Leo picks up.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. What can I do for you, Ed?
Okay, so here's the situation, Leo.
Yes, sir.
I have a Moto G6.
Very nice. Yep.
And yesterday, my wife's had some DoorDash stuff to do, but she couldn't do it on her Apple phone, so she asked me if she could borrow my phone. I gave her the phone, and I had to text, and then I didn't have a phone.
Oh, no.
But when she went through that and used my Android, I said, maybe I should ask Leo about an upgrade to the phone, because on the G6, it seems like my speaker is not very loud compared to her iPhone.
Yeah.
And even the screen is not as bright as I wish it could be.
Yeah, because you have an LCD screen, and she's got an OLED screen. And well, which iPhone does she have?
She has the XR.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's OLED.
Yeah.
I think it is. No, maybe not. Anyway, that's a very nice phone. Do you want to stay with Android?
I like Android, yeah.
You're a mixed marriage. I mean, that can be hard. That can be challenging.
It works out fine.
All right. As long as the in-laws don't mind. No, actually, I have family members who are Android. I use both, of course, and most of the family's iPhone. And sometimes in group messages and stuff, the Android people feel a little left out. I don't blame them. But as long as you don't mind, you like being in the Android world. So is it the screen you want and better speakers, louder speakers? Is that the...
The features I like are if it could be louder. I do like the headphone jack, the regular headphone jack.
Yeah. And that's, and you know, it's unfortunate because everybody's phasing those out, which is nuts. Motorola's not, though. In fact, yours is a couple of years old. I would look, the newest ones are the G9s. It'd be nice if you could look at it and listen, most importantly, listen to the speakers, because I honestly don't really know how good the speakers are or not. But I do know that Motorola has updated the G series, and I've always liked it. It's very clean Android. I got my daughter, who's an Android user, I got her the G9 Power because she's always running out of juice, and that has the biggest battery of any phone I'm aware of. And she, like you, said, and Dad, it's got to have a headphone jack. And, you know, the new iPhones don't. The new high-end Android phones from Samsung and Google don't. They're just phasing them out everywhere. So
are they phasing out batteries, too? I mean, replaceable batteries?
Oh, yeah, gosh. Nobody has replaceable batteries because they're bigger because they're replaceable. So I would, honestly, if you could listen to it, I would look at the G9 Power. I like it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The problem is I don't know about the speakers. So they did take out the stereo speakers. There's only one speaker in it. So you might, if sound is really important, look at the G8 Power. That was the previous one, which really did have loud and good speakers. It was known for that. The battery, I don't know if battery life is important. If it's not, then they have other G8 models that have other features, like a better screen. It's a big screen. It's pretty bright. It is an LCD screen, but I think you would like it.
At the G8?
Yeah, the G8. It's certainly be improvement over the G6, and the speakers are reputedly very, very good. G9 less so. Although it is newer,
okay,
right? So I would look at any of the G8s. You know, what Motorola does now with these is they make a variety of models depending on what you're looking for, battery life or speed or whatever. So let me just look at what the G8. They also have better cameras now than your G6 would. I guess I don't, you know, they do the Power, which has a bigger battery. I wouldn't, since you're happy with the G6, I would update it.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would update it. And I would look at a G8 if you want the best speakers. G9 if you want the latest and greatest. G8's pretty damn good.
Sounds like G8 for me.
Yeah. I think it sounds like it. And it still has a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, which is big. It's still very big. So I'd take a look at that.
All right.
All right.
Well, Leo.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling, Ed.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. It's time for Johnny Jett, our travel guru. It's been a very, very long drought for Johnny Jett. Unable to travel anywhere. Stuck at home with his wife and his two small children. Now you're stuck in a tent with your wife and two small children. Hello, Johnny Jett. Where are you?
It's not a tent. I'm actually at a place called The Hideaway.
The Hideaway.
In Santa Barbara. It's 9 rooms, and we're upstairs, so it's kind of like the old attic, but it's beautiful. I mean, my wife's
it's
like,
gorgeous.
We've been at 3 hotels this week. We went to the Ritz-Carlton, Santa Barbara. We went to the Goodland, which is a Kimpton, and this one. And this one is her favorite room style, but you know,
it's a really
ones.
Cool. The reason I think it looks like a tent is because the roof is so oddly shaped, but now I understand you're in the attic.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's... But the light is beautiful.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. I don't understand. How come you're traveling?
So we're not going to. We had to. So we were forced to. This is my first trip in over a year. But we had emergency electrical problems at home.
Oh.
And they were going to have workers there for 5 days.
Oh, my.
So we said, you know what? We called up our friends at Visit Santa Barbara, and they said, come on up.
It'd be safer where you are now than having workers traipse through the house for 5 days. That's for sure.
That's what we did. So,
yeah.
But it's been great. And actually, one of the places they had us go to dinner, Olio Pizzeria, the woman who runs it, says, I listen to you every week on Leo.
Oh, hi, Olio Pizzeria.
And which was awesome. So
that's
you
nice.
Know, you got so many fans up here. And
I love Santa Barbara. Yeah,
but I mean, and people are traveling, and you know what's nice about Santa Barbara is that most people are wearing masks, and at all the hotels we've been to, everyone's wearing a mask. We went to the zoo yesterday; 97% of the people wear masks. The botanical gardens, they were all wearing masks, and we went to one other flight. We went to the zoo, which was incredible for kids. They have an ongoing dinosaur exhibit.
Oh, I outdoors, bet your kids are so happy. Now, the little one, your daughter,
yes,
this she probably doesn't know from quarantine, right? I mean, how old is she?
She's 19 months.
Yeah. So this is life for her. That's all she's ever known.
She has not worn a mask. You don't have to wear a mask if you're two
right,
years or younger.
Right.
But my son wears a mask. And, you know, that's why we want to travel soon, because I just can't imagine her. First of all, she has not flown yet. My son's been on almost 70 flights in 2 years.
How?
And, but Olivia has not flown. And I don't know how
really,
she's going to do. What she has to put a mask on.
It's important. I do feel a lot safer when everybody's wearing masks, especially when we're outside. I just feel a lot safer. And I don't worry so much. I think this is the beginning of the end, or at least if it's not the beginning of the end, it's the beginning of the end.
I agreed. Yeah. There might be the stuff might hit the fan in a couple or in a month or two, but we'll see. I'm hoping not.
Spring break could be bad. If you're going out on spring break, kids, please bring your masks. And if you don't, quarantine before you go home to mom and dad, please.
Yeah. I just tweeted something from last night in Miami, and seriously, they were partying like it was 2019.
Yeah, that worries me a little bit.
That's gonna be a problem. But anyway, people are definitely traveling. Actually, the TSA the last 2 days have broke pandemic records in over a year. Yesterday was 1.4 million.
Wow.
6.8, and the day before was 1.408. But so far, 9 days in a row, over a million people, and only 5 days in March haven't hit a million people. So travel's definitely bouncing back. Normal times, it would be about 2.3. So we're still down, but
not by that much. Traveling. Yeah.
No, and I'm hoping it's mostly people who have been vaccinated. But
they're really easing up now. The vaccines are coming. And I got mine,
scrambling.
I mentioned. Yeah.
The airlines are all changing their – instead of going to business routes, they're doing leisure routes. Yeah. They're flying to Alaska, Florida,
Do you think
Montana.
It'll still be the end of business travel, like now that they've realized they don't need to do it?
It's definitely going to be changed. It won't be the end, obviously, because nothing beats a handshake, but I don't think as many people will travel.
Right, right.
But so this week, since I did a road trip, you know, I was writing a lot of tips on it. And I – you know, number one, if you ever do a road trip, number one – thing you want to do is make sure you never leave anything of value in the car. You know, if you live in San Francisco or any big city or any tourist destination, you know this, but never leave anything in the car, especially that's visible. They'll just break your windshield and smash and grab. And if you do have to leave something in the trunk, you know, make sure you pull off to the side before you get to your destination and put it in the trunk first. And that way, when you pop out, let's say, you know, you're going to go hiking in Hawaii or whatever, you know, they don't know that you put something in the trunk and don't take something out because people will be in the parking lot watching. And this is every tourist destination. So I'm not just picking on Hawaii, by the way, but it does happen there as it does everywhere. But what I did learn this week is that before you rent a car, go to a website, vincheck.info, and you check the VIN number to make sure you're getting what you're getting. And you know how many accidents this car has been in. One of my friends, rented a car on a ski trip and they thought they were getting a four-wheel drive. The car rental place said it was four-wheel drive, but after she did this VIN check, she realized it was only two-wheel drive.
The vehicle identification number will tell you everything about that car, including what kind of drive it has.
Yeah. I mean, so I never thought of that before. I don't rent
a
lot of
cars. Great idea.
These days, but it's very important. And then I ran that as a tip. And then one of my readers, who is an ex-cop, said, you know what else you have to do? This will take you 2 seconds. Make sure you check the registration that it hasn't expired, especially the ticket, the sticker on the back of the license plate.
Oh, that would
be bad.
Because
he's pulled over multiple people.
Really? In rentals?
Yeah, in rentals. And it's just a hassle. You don't want to deal with that when you're. So these are simple things you can do.
NICB.org/VIN check if you want to do a VIN check. You can.
Which one is it?
NICB.org.
Okay.
Somebody's saying in the chat room. You have one on your website, too.
I had a different one, but a couple of readers wrote in and said use vincheck.info.
Yeah.
And I haven't used that yet, but I was just reviewing it.
NICB is the National Insurance Crime Bureau. And they have a VIN check.
Yeah. Use this one. Yeah. I'm gonna update my post.
It's pretty cool when you enter in the VIN. You see all this, like where it was manufactured, the date, and all that stuff is in the VIN. That's kind of cool.
Right. And by the way, the VIN is located right on the driver's side, underneath at the bottom of the windshield. It's a 17-digit number.
Right.
And also, it's on the car door if you can't find it.
And the reservation, if you're booking a car, will they send you the VIN?
I'm not sure about
that. But check it before you go. I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just to avoid some hassles, and these are just basic, some are not so basic. But speaking of Hawaii, Hawaii is bouncing back. I mean, they set a single day record yesterday. Also, Kauai is now opening up on April 5th. So I think they're going to do away with
Who else is opening up? Southwest is going to start flying to Santa Barbara.
Yes.
I'm thinking of coming down.
$29.
Which hotel do you like? You've stayed in three nice ones.
I mean, the Ritz is right on the water.
Love it.
It's huge.
Love it.
Perfect location.
All right.
This place is really nice and quaint, but
Lisa
not
wants
on the
a
water.
Getaway. Lisa's looking for a getaway. So maybe we fly down to Santa Barbara for a few days.
Rosewood. There's so many to check out. But the Kimpton Goodland or the Canary, you know, these are fun hotels. And if you have a dog, you want to stay at a Kimpton.
Hey, I have another question for you. Lisa and I both applied for Global Entry on your recommendation. And we've both been preliminarily approved. So we have to do the check, and they say, we just got emails that say you can do it on your way back into the country. Of course, we're not leaving the country for a while. Will it still be good when we leave the country in a year? And
They've extended it for a year, so you should be good. Just double check. Go into your.
I'll go into the login and see,
and it will tell you. But you know, same thing with my daughter. I applied for Nexus, which is $50 for 5 years, and it gives you global entry and TSA pre. Global entry is $100, and it gives you TSA pre, and it's good for 5 years. And certain credit cards, by the way, cover.
Yeah, my American Express covers it, so it costs us
nothing.
They
cover it every 4 years,
yeah,
usually.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's the way to do it. You make sure you pay for it with that.
Because we are leaving the country, but not till January of 2022. So. You know.
Yeah, they've been backed up, but that is a trick. If you are going out of the country, when you come back in, you can say, hey, is there a way to, you know, is there a...
And there's not a special person, just the person you're talking to will do it, or...
Well, usually you have to make an appointment, and it's not easy to make an appointment.
They say you don't need an appointment, I think, right? You just...
Well, that is kind of like a hack, and it's just... It's not guaranteed to work.
Okay.
It just depends how
busy
they are.
I'll have to check. JohnnyJet.com. Go there. He's got a great series of newsletters. They're all free. He's got a podcast, johnnyjet.com/podcast. He's on YouTube. He's got the 39 Questions podcast. And I bet you'll be writing about Santa Barbara coming soon. johnnyjet.com. Nice. How's it feel?
You know what? As I wrote in my newsletter this week, it was baby steps.
Yeah.
I felt like the movie What About Bob? I was like, you know, I wouldn't think twice before to go to Hawaii for dinner or New York for a meeting. And then just driving 95 miles from my house.
Big, like, deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Well, we can fly from Oakland to Santa Barbara starting
in Southwest has really expanded. And the sale just ended yesterday. I put it in my newsletter this week. $29 Southwest had a sale to and from Santa Barbara.
Oh, well.
And they're going to Vegas. I think they're going to Denver.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
But also, American now is going to start flying from here to Dallas and Chicago.
Must be a dinky airport.
It is. And although we drove by it, I've never been in it. But, it's beautiful. It's right on the water.
I can't wait. That's going to be that would be a fun trip. Fly down to Santa Barbara, spend the night at the Ritz. Couple of nights at the Ritz, come back. That'd be a fun trip.
Yeah.
We're going to do Calistoga for the first time right after Easter for 4 or 5 days, one of our favorite hotels in Calistoga. So that's going to be the first baby step for us.
Well, I look forward to hearing it. And, you know, next week I'll talk about the cruises because there was some cruise news. They're going to bypass the U.S. ports, and they're going to start in June.
Wow.
In July, some of them.
I feel like we booked the cruise for January of next year. End of January.
I still don't think it's going to happen in Asia, but I
you really,
really
think
hope
that
I'm
Asia's going to
really
block Americans? Is that what you think?
Well, you know what? I think it'll be tougher for them to get in. But, you know, since you guys will be vaccinated, it'll be a lot easier. If you're not vaccinated, you can forget about it.
I got my card, man.
But China is now saying that you have to have the Chinese vaccine to get into China.
I know.
And, I mean, first of all, no American's going to do that because they already got the three American ones. Or they're not American, but the ones that are here.
Does that include Hong Kong?
I don't think so. I mean, although Hong Kong is losing some autonomy
now.
They're really having some challenges.
Who knows what's going to happen?
I hope not. Hong Kong was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, we're going. We're starting Hong Kong, then go to Vietnam, Thailand, and Singapore. So I'll keep an eye on that.
Yes, and I'll make a note.
And have fun with your family. You're in Santa Barbara.
You know what we're checking out right now? I asked for a late checkout so I could do this.
Thank
you. We're going home.
All right. Go home.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Moving on with the show as we go to Julian in Los Angeles. Hello, Julian.
My ears are burning.
I'm talking about you. Talking about you. What's up?
Yeah,
it was a great call. He said we should have more Julian on the show. Julian, tell us your website again.
It's www.techjv.com. So that's the word tech, T-E-C-H, J as in John, V as in Victor.com.
And you do assistive technology. Is it specifically for blind people or is it for everybody?
It's geared, of course, toward blind people because I'm blind myself, and it's focused on the mobile side of things.
Phones.
I mean, I do some computer stuff as well, but I find that the phone is my area of greater interest, and where I focus, and most of my clients seem to want to know about. So one of the things the caller had mentioned was difficulties in booking COVID vaccine.
Yes.
So I wanted to share a couple of tips. And by the way, just full disclosure, I have not yet been able to secure mine because I'm trying to get the J&J, but I'm working on it.
You want the one shot.
Yeah, the one shot, and my doctor thinks that's the way to go as well,
right,
for my situation. So
right.
A few tips that I have found. Number one, in Los Angeles County, the website vaccinatelacounty.com also has a phone number for people who either can't use or don't want to use the website. So people who don't have access to a computer, it's listed right there, and I can give that number out if you'd like.
Sure, go ahead.
It's area code 833, so it's toll-free, 540-0473. And it'll ask you a bunch of questions, but if you want the real quick way of doing it, 11111 to everything.
That gets you right through the phone tree. I love that.
Yeah. Get you through all the questions, and it answers basically the questions that you need to answer to get to an operator.
Excellent.
To fit the criteria.
Excellent.
So, and they can access that information, and it's a lot faster to have them do the search for you than to the website's accessible, but with screen readers, you have to tab around and do a lot of keystroke stuff, and then at the end, sometimes you find that you did all that and you can't get an appointment for the shot you want. So
yeah. There have been complaints about nationwide, and of course, each state has its own, and many health insurance companies have their own, and so there's a great variety in the quality of these websites. But there have been a lot of complaints about them, and not just for blind folks, but also for older folks who are maybe not so digitally literate. Apparently, the people who need the vaccine the most, people in their 70s and 80s, are having a hard time in some cases negotiating these ridiculously complicated sites where they don't even have online access. It kind of bugs me. I'm sure it really bugs you. But
they, in general, made the process so much more complicated than anything.
It's ridiculous.
But I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're all going to get our shots.
Yes.
The other tip I wanted to give for those who are outside of Los Angeles County, although you might look at your own county's website and see if they offer a similar service, one of the remote visual assistance services that I've talked about before called AIRA, that's A-I-R-A, and their website is AIRA.io. They have apps for Android and iOS. Now, it is a paid service, but they do offer free guest accounts. And in certain instances where a business or a municipality has declared or set themselves up to be an AIRA access location, you can use the service there for free because they've paid for you to use it. Well, one of the things that they're doing is to help people with this process. You can set up a guest account, which is free of charge, and up to 30 minutes a day can be used to have the AIRA agent help you navigate a COVID-19 vaccine website.
Oh, that's cool. It's kind of like a task rabbit for getting things done digitally.
Yeah, so it's one of the things they're doing to try to help our community. So you don't have to be a paid subscriber to have access to that. Just set up the basic guest account, and you can use it for things like this. And some airports have it too, which comes in really handy when you want help at an airport. So, that's a good one to have in your toolbox there.
Great tip. AIRA.io, AIRA.
Yes. And you can look up AIRA in either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store on Android. They're both there and fully accessible, very easy to use, and, again, a good tool to have in the toolbox.
And it's a human on the other end, so it's nice. You can ask them to do something for you, that kind of thing.
And not just a human, they are an actual paid employee.
Trained.
Trained and under NDA.
Ah, nice. So you're protected.
So you can trust them.
Good.
With personal information.
Very nice.
They can also team viewer into your computer and help you with tasks. I've done that many a time with inaccessible forms that I need to fill out.
That's fantastic. AIRA.io. And let's give you a plug, too. TechJV.com. Julian Vargas, you've been on the show many times offering your assistance to people with low vision. Help@TechJV.com is the email. You even put your phone number on the site, yes. Which is a brave thing to do. Good job.
Well, thank it's you. A voicemail, so they can call anytime, and good. It doesn't bother them.
Nice, nice. Julian, thank you. I guess your ears were burning.
Yep. And I'm happy to help out and contribute to the show in any way that I can.
Hey, your calls are always welcome. Thank you, Julian.
Take care.
Really appreciate it. AIRA.io. That's a good tip. I'd never heard of them. So that's good to know. There are lots of people out there who really want to change this world and make it more accessible. I think that's a laudable. Let's see. Who's next here? It looks like Santa Jeff in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Santa.
Hello there, Leo.
How are you?
I got to tell you, well, I'm doing better than I have. I've had both my shots, but I still wear my mask when I go out because I want to stay free of those 1 Delta 10 Tango Sierra.
Yeah. Well, you also, by the way, that's ham lingo. And if you write it on a page, you'll understand what he's saying. 1 Delta 10 Tango Sierra. I love it.
Well, having been a Santa Claus for over 3 decades, this past Christmas.
What did you do? Yeah, what did you do for Christmas? Did you have kids come see you?
No, I couldn't. I didn't trust it.
Yeah,
and my photographer that I've used for over 20 years, he got COVID.
No,
it was a very light case.
Oh, thank goodness!
And a guy that we used on a regular basis to help us on locations, he got COVID and passed in 2 weeks.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh,
and man. My photographer decided to hire a temporary Santa, and that guy got COVID in 14 days, but he survived.
Oh, my gosh. You did the right thing, Jeff. Holy cow. But you know what?
Stayed away from him.
This Christmas, maybe Santa will be back.
Well, with the vaccines and that, I'm hoping I will.
Crossing our fingers.
I want to make a couple of comments.
Actually, I got 30 seconds left, and I know one of the things you want to ask about is some, you're not the first person to ask me this week about the Ryuku Muama, which is a Wi-Fi gadget. And I will.
Is it legitimate?
Yes, but you got to understand what you're getting. So hang on, would you? We're going to go through news. If you'll hang on, we can talk about it on the other side. Is that okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Santa Jeff. Leo Laporte, I got a little gift for you. Hang on. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Don't want to keep Santa waiting. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time Talk Computers, the Internet, Home Theater, Digital Photography, Smartphones, Smart Watches, all that jazz. Big screen TVs, surround sound, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. If you're outside that area, you could still reach me, but you'll have to use Skype or some other a voice over the internet product to call that phone number, and it should still be free. 8888 Ask Leo. We were talking to Santa Jeff before the break. He wants to know about something, I know, and I don't know how you pronounce it, the Muama Ryoku or Ryoku Muama, something like that. Where did you see it? Did you see an ad for it, Jeff? Or?
Well, actually, I was looking at something on YouTube, and all of a sudden, a commercial, if you will, an advertisement came up, and I got curious about it. Because, as you may remember from about a year or so ago, I called you and was complaining about that T-Mobile operation. And to be able to get on the internet, I had to use my hotspot. And I complained to them because they say unlimited talk, text, and data. What they fail to tell you is the data slows down to a crawl.
Yes, it's unlimited. The phone companies have gotten in much trouble, by the way, with the Federal Trade Commission over this because, yes, it's unlimited in the sense that nobody says, well, you can't have any more data. But it becomes unusable at a point because they've slowed it down so much. And the FTC has said, and courts have said, you know, that's not really what people understand when they hear unlimited. It's technically true, but, you know, not exactly.
But unusable.
Yeah, unusable now, is basically not usable, right?
What I'm through, and before I forget it, I want to tell you that I was looking up and I found out you got a beauty with Kim Schaffer. She is gorgeous, as well as she's got a phenomenal voice. And a personality, they won't quit.
She looks good with a mask on, too.
what I want to know is, what is Professor Laurel? Is she an actual professor?
No, I call her that because, and you might be old enough to remember this, in the old days, first it started because I call her my musical director because she plays the music in between shows, in between commercials and stuff like that, and the return music and all that. And then you might remember in the old days, they often called the conductor of the orchestra professor, or the person leading the band professor. So that's why I call her professor. But are you a professor of anything, Laura, besides?
No, I'm not.
No, she's not. She's a professor of good, clean living and fun.
Well, she's exceptionally good in her choice of
music. I agree. So now, let me talk about this Mwama Ryoku, which is a terrible name. I don't know how you pronounce it. I think that some people have felt a little ripped off, and this is why I asked you how you heard about it. Did the ad imply free internet?
Yes, it does. Plus, it says, and one of my problems is where I'm staying, and I'm in a rehab facility from a lot of medical issues, and they only have Comcast.
So what it is I used to call them MiFis. That was the name we used for these. They are little Wi-Fi access points that connect to the cellular data network and provide you with Wi-Fi anywhere you can get cellular. And so, you know, you understand that because you were having trouble with cellular data slowdowns with T-Mobile. So now I've been trying to figure out, and they are not clear about this, who they use for their cellular carriage. It's international, so they probably have deals. I'm going to guess they have a deal with T-Mobile because they're an international carrier. But they probably have – sorry?
Am I going to be able to get – Wi-Fi, even though I've got T-Mobile and I'm having to use T-Mobile hotspot.
It's completely separate. It will be like a T-Mobile hotspot, almost exactly. But it is important. It's a good question. What carrier do they use? And as far as I can tell, I don't see that on their page. But so the first thing is, it's not appropriate to say it's free because it's not. You're going to get a SIM card in there and you're going to use cellular data and you're ultimately going to be paying for cellular data through that company. So that's
pay one time or do I pay monthly?
I'm not sure how they arrange the payments because I have something similar that I've used for a long time called the Soli. And you pay they have two different ways of doing it, which you can get a day pass or you can get a monthly thing. Let me go to their website, which is getryoko.com.
Well, what I want to know is, am I going to be able to use it, or is it going to tack onto my hotspot that I have to use with?
No. It has its own SIM, so it has its own connection. I'll tell you a couple of things. First of all, it's expensive.
Yeah,
and so you have to buy the Ryoko first. And
right.
You're going to pay that. It's about $90, although for some reason I noticed they're trying to sell multiple. One would be enough, I think. It's got 8 hours of battery life. That's always been a problem with these MiFi devices. I've used them as I've traveled in Europe and stuff. And that's problem number one is the battery doesn't last forever. So 8 hours is just basically around the day. The problem number two is the number of devices you connect. Ryoko is apparently up to 10 devices, which is a good number. They say 150 megabits. That's going to depend on whose LTE they're using. So it won't necessarily be that fast. In fact, it probably never be that fast. And then,
can I use just one?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I don't know why they try to sell multiple units because you don't need more than one.
Okay.
And the thing that they're not completely clear about, and I would do some research on this, is what the cost for data is. Because eventually you're going to be paying for data. The data is not going to be free forever. You're going to have to pay for the connection.
See, what T-Mobile did is T-Mobile told me, okay, and they sold me the deal on the 55 plus, where I've got two phones and two lines, and I've got two hotspots. And I said, well, I keep running out of time. And so they said, oh, we'll send you. And they sent me a tablet. So my $55 a month is now $93.13.
Yeah, exactly. Because now you're paying for the tablet. So here's the thing. These things, you carry them in your pocket. So you don't need more than one because it's going to be on your person. They're small. You could put it in your pocket. But I think this is unfortunate. You know, they give you 500 megabytes to start. By the way, that's nothing. You will run through that in a week or two. What they're not completely clear on, and I'm scouring the site trying to find it, I'm sure somebody in the chat room has found it, is what after you use up those 500 megabytes, which you will do in a week or two at the most, then what? You know, what's the cost? And there will be a cost for additional data. My problem with the Soli was that it was similar. You used, I think it was 500 megabytes. And then you would, at that point, you would have to buy more. And so it wasn't very economical. And I would guess that this is going to be similar to that. So it's a little device, kind of about the size of a little smaller than a phone, fits in your pocket, connects up via Wi-Fi to any device. So your computer, your phone, your tablet, it'll give you whatever speed their carrier, whoever that is. it's not a scam. But they are clearly intentionally obfuscating the most important details, which is how much data do you get? Does it slow down after 500 megabytes? Does it slow down after a gigabyte? Does it ever slow down? What is the cost per gigabyte? You shouldn't, in most cases, you shouldn't be paying more than $10 per gigabyte. Anything more than that is outrageous, okay? So, but I don't know where to find that out. Maybe I have to order one. I don't know. And then they'll tell you. They're advertising like crazy, so I'm getting a lot of questions about this. It's not a scam, but they aren't completely forthcoming with the information. To activate the SIM card, you'll need to use your smartphone or tablet. You'll get more detailed guidance when you get the device. Yeah, that's my problem. I'm looking through the fine print in the terms of service to see. What you want to know is who's their carrier. If it's T-Mobile, well, you know what you're going to get. If it's somebody else, you don't, you know, you need to know who their carrier is in the area you want to use them because it need, you know, if it's not available, it's not available. I don't see this anywhere. They are a European company, I think, so. Boy, I just don't understand why they're not more forthcoming in what you're going to get. That would be the thing that would slow me down. You already have a hotspot from T-Mobile. You know what you're getting. I would stay with that. It's not a scam. It probably is just like a lot of these devices. But the fact that they're hiding the actual cost kind of bothers me. You know, like, and who's supplying the data? Who's your contract with? That's what I want to know. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. So chat room, you couldn't find it either. I mean, in that sense, it's a scam only because, well, are you going to get a bill for $1,000? I mean, I'm read the reviews for sure. They do offer a 30-day refund, but what, you know, you shouldn't buy it if it doesn't if they can't tell you. So what did I have? I had the Solis, I think it was, not Soli, Solis. Let me see if I can find it. And it was the same idea, but at least they were, it was from Skyrim. They were forthright on the costs and everything. You knew what you were getting. They were forthright on who their carriers were and stuff. But the fact that they don't tell you is weird. So, yeah, Skyrim Solis. And I tried to use that in Europe and stuff. But nowadays, it's less important because many carriers have good international plans. I have Google Fi on one phone. That has a very good international plan. T-Mobile does. And T-Mobile's put enough pressure on AT&T and Verizon now that they have pretty good international plans, too. So I wouldn't, you know, that's, I think, the main intent for something like the Ryoko. I'm very puzzled by it. They're advertising like crazy. And they're so not forthcoming on what they're doing that it makes me nervous. Yeah, I suspect the rates are high. Otherwise, why would they hide them, right? They may also not mention them because it varies depending on what country you're in, but that's a problem also. You don't want to be side, you know, bushwhacked by the price that it suddenly costs. You know, oh, my God. And none of the reviews I see have prices in them, which tells me these aren't legit. You know, the so-called blog reviews, they're not legit. They're placed. Professor Laura. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. I don't know enough about this product that Jeff was asking about us to say it's good or bad. But there are definite red flags on this, besides the fact that I have no idea how to pronounce it, Mauma Ryoko. Wi-Fi router. First of all, it's not unique in the category by any means. Every carrier offers such a thing. They're called MiFi devices. I used the Skyrim Solis for a long time, and it's another product that's similar. But what I don't like about it, A, is most of the reviews that you find online, almost all of them are paid placement. None of them that I can find mention pricing. Only the upfront price for the device, which is fair, $90 or €89. But what is the cost of data? Because it ain't free. And the fact that that's obscured everywhere and the fact that all the reviews I can find are paid placement that don't mention pricing tells me there's something going on with the pricing, right? Red flag. Red flag. So if you use this Ryoko and you know how much it costs, let me know. It might be a good product. It might, you know, it bothers me that they don't say what the cost is. Maybe they don't even sell the data. Maybe that's up to you to get. Well, that's not a good idea. I would go to your local carrier if you're a T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T user, or any other carrier, and say, do you have a MiFi style device, a portable Wi-Fi access point, and find out what their cost is. They'll tell you up front. It is not, let's put it this way, it is not free internet. That's for sure. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Wallace is on the line from Frederick, Maryland. Hello, Wallace.
Yes, hello, Leo.
Welcome. What can I do for you?
Yes, I had a question. If my employer pings my IP address, how accurately can they triangulate my location?
So it depends how they're doing it. By IP address, not very much. There are companies that if you give them an IP address will give you a general location, but it won't be your street address. They can get that, but they'd usually have to get a court order to get that. So let me explain how this all works. Your IP address is the address of your computer on the internet. Every single device on the internet has to have a unique IP address. If you've got an internet service provider at home, they've probably given you an IP address. You then use a router so you can use more than one device on it. So you'll have per house, per household, one IP address. Now, certainly your internet service provider knows exactly where you live because you're paying them. But they don't necessarily make that information public. In fact, in most cases, every case I'm aware of, they don't. They keep that to themselves. However, it is public knowledge which IP addresses an internet service provider has. They buy a range of addresses. So if you gave me your IP address, I could tell you which internet service provider you're using. And in most cases, I could tell you what town you're in. That's it. In order to get more information, I'd have to bring a court order, in most cases, to the internet service provider. It says, okay, between, and by the way, your internet service provider might be changing your IP address regularly. They don't guarantee it. So I would have to say between the hours of 12 p.m. and 1 p.m. On Saturday, March 20th, who had this IP address? And only your internet service provider would know that. And given a proper court order, they could then give you the your address, your name, any information they know about you. That's it.
So they can look at past dates then as well.
Pardon me?
They can go back into the past and look.
Oh, yeah. Well, a court order can, sure. Yeah, because the internet service provider, in most cases, logs all of that. Now, that's one of the reasons we talk about VPNs, for instance, because then, at that point, your use of the internet goes from your internet service provider out through a VPN, and now your internet address in the public internet is that VPN provider's address. That's why when we talk about VPNs, one of the things we say is, get a VPN provider that doesn't log your use, because then if they get a court order, who was using this IP address between noon and 1 on the 20th, they can say is, we don't know, we don't keep track of that. But in general, the major ISPs in the U.S. do.
Okay.
All right. Now, there are other ways to pinpoint your location, obviously. If you have a smartphone, for instance, you've got a GPS in it, and again, with an appropriate, it's not actually not a warrant, really. It's called a pen warrant. This has started to change because people have realized that's not good. But in the past, almost all internet service providers, certainly all the telcos, had portals for law enforcement where they could, for $1.50, go and say, all right, where was Wallace on the 20th between noon and 1? And because they have an information in your GPS, they might know, your telco might know exactly where you were and give that information up for almost nothing. That's changing. Courts are now saying, you know, that information really should require a court order. It should require a warrant. But in the past, it hasn't.
Okay.
All right. Does that answer your question? In other words, don't worry.
Get a VPN.
And if you want to be private, get a VPN. Yeah, the pen register is starting to go away because I think courts are understanding that location information actually is pretty private. That's stuff that should be protected. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I don't want to know why. They said, ask him why he wants to know. Leo Laporte. Get up and... Oh, I'm not on yet. I am? I'm on now? Am I on? Is this thing working? Leo Laporte... Sorry, I didn't mean to bang on your radio there. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. I have a little timer in front of me that shows when I'm supposed to talk. A little program I wrote so that I can, you know, because I never know. And apparently, it's not synced up with yours, Professor Laura. So she said I could talk, but my timer said I couldn't. So I was very confused. You don't need to know this. 8888, Ask Leo. Obviously, you listen, Leo, you know he's confused. Christian's on the line from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Christian.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Are they going to have the stampede this year?
Oh, fingers are crossed. I actually have an old high school friend who works for the Stampede, and rumor has it they're going to push for something.
I hope so. When is the Stampede normally? Is it summertime?
Second Friday of July is the Stampede parade. Yeah.
By then, I think probably we'll be able to go out and ride our horses and rope some cows and all that stuff. The Calgary Stampede, if you're not familiar with it, is a legendary, legendary rodeo.
It is quite something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, happy you know about it.
Oh, yeah. But it's on my bucket list. It's on my bucket list one of these days. I'm not going to Calgary in the winter, though. It'll be in the summer. What can I do for you?
Skiing in the winter.
Skiing. Yeah, that's okay. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I thought I had a good story for you. My dad, he's in his 70s, and he got me into computers, and nice. Then you carried me along with Tech TV and all that. So thanks for that. And we have you on the weekends, so thank you for everything you do.
That's great.
A reprieve from the COVIDian nightmare.
Oh, man.
By the way, my dad got this. He was nervous to tell me. He said, I clicked on this button.
Uh-oh.
On the casino site.
Oh.
And they sent me this free tablet.
Oh.
They showed it to me.
Oh.
And it's a nice tablet. I have it with me now. I got it out of his house. But he connected it to his network. And he didn't log in to any accounts.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So no accounts were entered, but he had it on his network, and I was curious what kind of nefarious things bad guys could do.
Oh, anything. I mean, if you find a free tablet on the ground or even a USB key, best not to use it. Now, was it a big casino site, a well-known casino site?
I don't know about it. VIP Elite Caesars Slots.
Oh, yeah. If it's really Caesars. So it's conceivable that, you know, remember, when you go to Vegas and you're a big, you know, high roller, if you're a whale, they comp you everything. The hotel room, say, well, my God, let's get you a drink, get you another drink, because they want you to keep gambling, right? And they know they're going to make more money in the long run. So this is, if it really is part of Caesars, which is, you know, as reputable as any gambling outfit can be, then it could very well be that it's completely legit. Yeah, we'll send you a tablet. On that tablet will be our little game that you're going to play nonstop and give us lots of money for, so the $90 we paid on the tablet is more than worth it. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that. But you're absolutely right. And anybody listening should always be, free as you got to look a gift horse in the mouth. Count the teeth. I think you'd understand that if you're from Calgary. You got to count the teeth. Why would they send him a tablet, you know? And yes, once it's on your network, any device on your network can start to play with things. It's not as good as getting something on your computer itself, because then you can watch what the user's doing and all sorts of stuff. If he uses that tablet to log into banking, I would avoid doing that. But again, the question is the place he got it from, how legit are they? And if it's Caesars, I think it's probably okay. They're one of the biggest gambling outfits in the world. So it's completely reasonable that they might send him a tablet, because he's lost enough money playing the video poker that he's worth it. He's a good gamble.
That's true.
Right? What do you know about this tablet? Is it an Android? It's an Android tablet, probably, right? It's not an iPad.
Yeah, it's a Galaxy Tab.
Oh, that's nice.
X5 or something like that.
Oh, that's nice. And yeah.
The only nefarious thing that I can see on it maybe is a TeamViewer quick support.
No. Well, but they do that because dad might say it's not working, and this way they can get on it quickly. TeamViewer is set up so that he has to approve any login attempts, so that's okay. Did it come with some Caesars apps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
So, VIP Elite Caesars Slots VIP.
Exactly. And it's real money, right? He's playing these slots with real money.
I would assume so.
Yeah. So if he's giving him a credit card and he's spending real money, it's in their interest to keep him playing. And, hey, dude, we'll give you a tablet. It's got the slots game right on it, and you can carry it with you everywhere and play all the time. I can understand. That's totally within the realm of how these operations work. So I wouldn't assume that it's nefarious. You're absolutely right to be concerned. If you really wanted to make sure, you could wipe it. All Android devices, including that Galaxy Tab, have, you'll have to look it up online to see what it is, but have a way to wipe it out and, you know, a factory refresh. It's probably in the settings. If you did a factory refresh to it, there'd be nothing left on there to be nefarious. But it would also no longer have the Caesar slot game on it. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Depends how much dad, how much of your inheritance is going down the tubes there.
Yes, that's true.
It's fun. Dad's enjoying it.
Question for you.
Sure.
If you had a second. It was a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. They're put them in front of a computer, they can actually navigate.
Nice.
Find themselves, which is fun.
Keep them off the Caesar's slot tablet, though, would you?
Yes. But as far as like a resource for getting my older one into coding a bit.
Oh, how exciting. 6 years old and you want him to code?
Wow. We'll just see what's possible.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
JavaScript and ActionScript.
I don't think he should be learning JavaScript or ActionScript. You're obviously a geek. Yeah, you're a programmer.
I have in the past. I used to love programming in Flash, actually, and that is...
Yeah, don't do that anymore. So...
No.
Do you remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, in school, do you have turtle graphics where you'd have a turtle with a pen and it would go, you go type, take 3 steps forward, turn left, and things like that? It was based on a computer language called Logo. Yeah, you're probably too young. There was a period of time when this was taught in schools as a way to learn programming and math and concepts and so forth. There is something very similar that six is pretty young, but it'll be a lap game, you know, you'll play it with your son, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's free. It comes from MIT. It's called Scratch. And okay. If you go to scratch.mit.edu, it is, you know, perfect for a kid because you can make games. You've got a kitty cat. You can make it meow. If you've done programming, you'll be able to do it with him and have fun with it. They have some educational stuff. But at this point, I wouldn't, you know, focus too hard on the educational aspect. Just the point at this point is to have fun. Did you have a computer as a kid?
You bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a little bit spoiled with that. Yeah. I used to play the old Sierra games with my old man.
So, and that's exactly what you'll be doing, basically. But instead of just playing a game, you're teaching the kid coding, basic coding. If he's good at that, then Apple has a really great thing called Playgrounds. It's only on the iPad and the Mac, unfortunately. But it's free. And that takes the next step, teaching him an actual programming language. But I think Scratch is designed for kids. It's a great environment. And you two will have a lot of fun. Scratch.mit.edu. There's there are a lot of other things. The thing about the Scratch is there's no typing. So they're little modules you drag in and place. If you go there, it's free. You can immediately see it and start playing with it and see what it'll do. And it's not
I'll have a look.
It's not a bad way to start. You know, even Harvard uses this. Harvard and MIT use it with their freshmen. It's the first language they teach their incoming freshman class. They only spend a week doing it. They don't linger, but they literally use that for incoming Harvard freshmen. So it's got a lot of power. It's pretty cool. And you'll see when you go to scratch.mit.edu, you'll see a variety of things. Let me think of what else. That's the one that kind of everybody knows about. There are things like Coda Kid, the chat room saying codakid.com.
Coda Kid.
Okay. Yeah, it's online coding for kids. But honestly, I think your experience with your dad gave you a very positive introduction to computing, didn't it?
Totally.
Yeah. It's why you're a geek. So, and part of that was...
I try to carry that on.
Exactly.
With my daughter, we sit and, you know, games are quite a bit different these days, but
yeah.
The latest Star Wars, we played through that.
Oh, see, that's great. So do this Scratch. So is it your daughter you want to do this with?
Yeah.
Do the Scratch thing. It's still a game. It's still fun. But it's coding. It's real coding. So she'll learn about if and you know, loops and stuff like that. And it makes kitty cats do things or jump up and down and stuff like that. So it's fun.
And she happens to be obsessed with kitty cats. So
perfect. Perfect. And I think it's a really, it's a subtle way to transition from pure gaming to something that's a little bit more like, this is about coding. And I think it's a really good start. It's, I love it. I think it's an amazing thing that MIT did. There's actually a longer story behind it, but I'll save that for another day. I hear the kids.
Yeah. They actually, you're kind of on the weekends in the background. You're like the ASMR of the Saturday and Sunday.
Aww.
Thanks for that.
There is a Scratch Junior I'm seeing for really young kids, and that is available for your phone or tablet. So Scratch Junior I would look at, as well as Full Scratch. And both of those are free.
Yeah, okay.
ScratchJunior.org. It's for ages 5 to 7.
Okay, perfect.
So she's right in the sweet spot.
All right.
Hey, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for listening all these years.
Hey, really appreciate it, Leo.
All right. You too. See you, Christian. Next stampede. Take care.
Yes. Let's do it. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, direct from Boogie Wonderland, it's time for the GizWiz, Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer, and our Gizmo Wizard. Hello, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing, pal?
I'm dancing with the Boogie Wonderland.
I can see it. It's really embarrassing. No, it's a wonderful thing. No, it keeps us young.
The truth comes out. My wife would have said, can I be 100% honest? Before she said,
"Oh, that's bad. Oh, that's
when you hear that." Go ahead. So Dick joins us every week to share some kooky, wacky gizmo or gadget he's found in the world at large. You got something for us this week?
Yeah, you know what? You'll be happy to say that you're not going to run out and buy one of these, but I love it, and so do some other people I showed it to. Okay, I'm sure you have a massive fireplace, right? Don't you have like a big screen TV in your fireplace?
In the fireplace, yes.
Because your house is that big. Okay,
there's not only a big screen TV. There's a sofa. There's an ottoman. And there is a little picnic table in the fireplace.
Oh, so great. It's big, air conditioning.
Air conditioning, because you know, the fire is hot.
Yeah.
So you got to cool off a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So the man next door to me has a fire pit in his backyard. And
It
can burn. Okay. I don't have that.
You don't have? So, well, you live in Manhattan. I don't think there are a lot of fire pits in Manhattan. You can probably count them on the fingers of one hand.
Probably.
Donald Trump probably has one in the Trump Tower. That's it.
Oh, my God. So a company called Tac Life makes little tabletop fireplaces, okay?
What?
And they either
What? How small? That's crazy.
It's about, probably just about 7 inches in diameter, and it can either burn something they call biofuel, or you can burn, I never knew you could burn like rubbing alcohol.
Alcohol is very common for the lamps like this,
But they said by the 99% alcohol, so I was actually using J&B Scotch, and then I thought, this is really getting
No, Everclear, you want to use, is that what's, wait a minute, I see it burning behind you.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I thought maybe that was the Olympic flame that you were taking care of for a while.
That's
really interesting. So that's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, it's a neat little guy. Has a cement base. Now, the one thing that I should tell people is one part of the instructions say, don't use the fireplace for more than 90 minutes at a time.
Does it get really hot?
Yes, I did not know that. And I'm thinking, why would you have to? Why would it just be 90 minutes? So I left it on for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Good. You do that so we don't have to.
Exactly. So be careful of that. Obey the...
Did it burn a little ring on your table? Or?
No, it didn't. But I realized if I'd left it going, it probably would have made a mark on
it. It gets hotter and hotter. Yeah.
$50. And
that's not bad.
It's not bad. And
will it warm you? Can you like rub your hands in front of it like you would on?
You know what? The time I left it on for 2 hours, it really warmed up my area around my desk here.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're not going to use it in the dead of winter, but like today it was only 40 in the city. So it added a little bit of warmth. So right now it seems to be a 10% off coupon. So that's it. It's called the Tac Life Table Fire Pit. But I have a quick techie question.
Sure.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Join the club.
When we first started doing this, Jamma B sent me a little Blackjack mic mixer, which I love. And Thursday.
Wait a minute. Was that like in 2005?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be clear.
Yes.
That was a while ago.
You know, it doesn't even say mic input. It says put cable from speaking thing in here.
We didn't know about microphones back in the day.
Yeah. And then a thing that you want to hear stuff from, plug in here. So that must be the speaker output.
Yeah,
that was a very, very, very anyway, there was a major Microsoft Windows update. And when I went to do the Gizmo show with Chad Johnson Thursday night, this thing, I talked like this and we couldn't change
it. You could still hear you, but it just had a deep voice. I think you could sell that.
Oh, maybe.
As a voice changer.
Oh,
put that on eBay.
That's a bad idea. So we had two choices. I could do the show like this, and then it would sound like normal.
Yeah, if you talk like that. Yeah.
Chad said, I'll just take over your computer for a couple of minutes. So
You let OMG Chad take over your computer. You're a brave soul.
So it turns out the last driver Blackjack had was a 7. Windows 7 driver.
Like I said, it's a pretty old device.
Yeah. So he ran it in Windows 7 compatibility on Windows 10.
Oh, and did that work?
Sounds fine now.
Oh, that's what you're using?
I'm using it now.
Well, we'll send you a more modern one. I think you need a more modern
okay.
one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that was my question. When Microsoft feels like it, will they come in and shut me down?
No. It's not a Microsoft thing. The company that made it, Mackie, doesn't sell it anymore, I suspect, and has not kept it up to date. This is not uncommon. You see this a lot, frankly, with older hardware. It's up to the company that makes the hardware to write the software that makes the hardware work with modern versions of Windows. So it's not at all unusual for a piece of hardware to not have a driver, if it's old enough, for the modern version of Windows 10. And there was a big jump between 7 and 10 in what they call the driver model, the way these drivers work. So I'm not surprised it doesn't work very well in Windows 10. And Microsoft probably had a compatibility layer in there that they took out with the update, and that's why it broke it.
Okay.
So it's not unusual. If you can run in compatibility mode, as you did.
That's who we are.
That's a good way to do it. But I think we're going to get you something a little more modern.
Thank you.
Where they call that speaky thing a microphone, at least. We should.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I hope I'm going to be able to command that.
Yeah. That's wild. Yeah, we get calls like that a lot. There was an update from Windows last week. We have a Kyocera printer, which is a very well-known, often used in business laser printer. And if you tried to print to it, Windows would go give you a blue screen of death. Boom, just die.
Wow.
And Microsoft said, whoops. Whoops. There's a 3 or 4 laser printers that this happens to. We'll send you a new one in a week or so. I don't know if they fixed that or not, but we fixed it here. I can't, probably doing the same thing Chad did, running it in compatibility mode or something.
Okay, very good.
But these things happen. So I'm glad that you're able to talk to us. Although I want to hear the deep voice, Gizwiz. You could sell it. I'm telling you, go on eBay. Say, this is my a Mackie Blackbird? Was it
The Blackjack?
Blackjack. Call it the Blackjack with big bottom.
Oh, and, that's good.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Makes everything sound deep.
We should do it on Kickstarter. Just get some labels to put over this.
Yes. That's, you know what? Half the time on Kickstarter, I think it is stuff like that.
I think it is. I think you're absolutely right.
I think it really is. Dick DiVartolo, his website, if you want to see this really cool fire pit for your table is gizwiz.biz, G-I-Z-W-I-Z.B-I-Z. Click the button that says the Gizwiz visits the tech guy. While you're there, browse around. There's lots of other good stuff. Many gadgets he mentions on ABC's World News Now, for instance. There's Mad memorabilia from his many years at Mad Magazine. There's also the What the Heck Is It contest, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine by identifying a picture of an obscure gadget or gizmo. Don't know what it is. A gadget or gizmo. I can't tell. I'm looking at it. I don't know. But you can. Maybe you will. Maybe you will. It's, you know, it's, you can get a Mad Magazine just for being clever and the wrong answer. G-I-Z-W-I-Z.B-I-Z. And if you want to hear the deep voice, Dick DiBartolo, on his podcast, it's gizwiz.tv. Thank you, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, my friend. Thanks, Professor Laura, our musical director, Kim Schaffer, our phone angel. Thanks to you for joining me, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.